Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead, and I'm really blessed that you could be with us again for our study of the book of Revelation. If you remember from last week, we're in the fifth chapter. Jesus is about to receive the title deed to the earth, to take the earth back, and a group of people that are within, so the celestial beings, that are within the throne room of God are unable to find somebody that's qualified. Jesus is qualified. And there's three reasons. We saw last week that he's the avenger of blood. He's the Goel, the kinsman redeemer. And he is the participant in the law of the Levirate marriage. Now, last week we looked at the story of Ruth, and we saw that Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, and another person came into play here that was a closer kin, if you will, to the man that had died, who was Ruth's husband, one of Elimelech and Naomi's sons. And he came into the picture, but he wanted to back out because somehow this was not going to fit with him, and probably because Ruth was a Gentile woman. Now, Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer, and he's got the privilege of redeeming the land and her with it. I want you to take this to heart here. Listen to this carefully. Boaz takes the land, and he takes a Gentile for a bride. Jesus is coming back. He's going to take the land. And Jesus takes the Gentiles that have come into the church for a bride. We are the bride of Christ. Now, the Jews come into the church as well. But who ever thought in the Old Testament the Gentiles would be saved? It's one of the mysteries of the Old Testament. In summary, then, Boaz was the nearest of kin to her deceased husband, Ruth's husband, and he was able to redeem her by paying the price of the redemption. He was willing to redeem the land, and that's what makes this story so beautiful. It's a picture of the church. What did Christ do? We are the bride of Christ. He bought and brought the Gentiles into the church. Jesus is a Jew. The Jews and the Gentiles are one in the church. It's one of the reasons why he qualifies, because he's our Goel, he's our kinsman redeemer, and that's why he's qualified to take the title deed to the earth back. Now, there were four qualifications that were required in order for a kinsman redeemer to redeem. He must be near of kin. It's from Leviticus 25:48 and 25:25. Ruth 3:12 and 13. He must be able to redeem. You see that in Ruth 4, verses 4 to 6. He must be willing to redeem. We see that from verse 6 of Ruth 4. Now, this redemption was completed when the price was completely paid. Leviticus 25:27 in Ruth 4, verses 7 to 11. We can look at that and we know he's our nearest of kin. He's the second Adam. He's able to redeem. He paid the price. He gave his blood and he fully qualifies with the Mosaic, with the law of Moses, if you will, the Mosaic law, as the avenger of blood and the Goel, the kinsman redeemer. Now, these Old Testament concepts were fulfilled in Christ in the New Testament. Just consider the following here. Jesus paid the price. He willingly had himself sacrificed. He is our Goel. He's going to take this earth back. Who has the land now? Satan has the land. Satan's the prince of the power of this earth. Christ's going to redeem the land. He's going to take it back from Satan. Christ is a Jewish man who took a Gentile bride in this Levirate marriage. Now, the Gentiles are in the church, and we populate most of the church. He's our nearest of kin, one to the Jews and the Gentiles through the incarnation. He came into this body so he would be like us and to be able to identify with us so we could see that he is like us. This is why he qualifies. And he is the avenger of blood because he's ultimately going to kill Satan for killing Adam and Eve spiritually and physically by limiting their lives. By receiving the scroll, he's taking the earth back and he's redeeming the earth. He's getting the command. Here's the scroll, the title deed to the earth is now yours. Take it back, take it. Jesus Christ is our Goel. Jesus is your nearest kinsman through the incarnation. Let's look at what Romans 8:3 says. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. In his incarnation, he was like us in every way except that he never sinned. So he lived inside of a human body as God. He created these bodies. He came in to be sacrificed, to pay the penalty that a just God has for the sins of this world. And he willingly did it for us. And by being in this body, he could identify with us. He knew us. He said, I know you. I know you because I am one of you. Now, in his incarnation, he was like us in every way except that he just never sinned because he was perfect. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. When the high priest dies, the captives are released. Remember the story of the avenger of blood last time? If a man committed second degree or manslaughter and the brother of the person who died wanted to chase him, this person could go hide. This is an unintentional murder now. Could go hide in a city of refuge until the high priest died and then he was released. Now, in order to identify himself with us, he, in Philippians 2, verses 7 to 8, made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Look what Hebrews 4, verse 15 says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched up with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's why he's called Christ, our Goel. He's qualified to redeem us. He's the Goel in the Levirate marriage. He pulled the Jews and the Gentiles together, so legally, from the Levitical law, he's qualified in every sense. You know, the Jews are going to recognize this, how he qualifies someday. We know that he qualifies, but the Jews are one of the reasons for the Great Tribulations, that they will see him. The Great Tribulation is coming on this earth, the time of Jacob's trouble. It is for the Jews to bring them back to God, to evangelize the world and make an end to sin. That's why the church does not go through the Great Tribulation. We'll see later on that the Great Tribulation ends when the Jews cry out to him and claim that him finally as their Messiah, they can't stand the persecution anymore. The Antichrist will have killed 2/3 of the people on this world that are Jewish. It's like Hitler killed 1/3, Antichrist is going to kill 2/3. They finally cry out, and that's when the Tribulation ends. He is our Goel, our kinsman redeemer, our avenger of blood. Let's look at Revelation 5, verse 6. And we're back in Revelation, the text, chapter 5, I'm at verse 6 now. And here's John, the apostle, speaking. And he says, "And I saw in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." You know, the word lamb appears 28 times in the book of Revelation. It's the most prevalent description of the Lord Jesus in this book. He is in the middle of everything. The centrality of Christ in everything is important for us to see. It's important to see his position in the throne room where God the Father is. He's in the middle of everything, and it's paramount to understanding the authority and the power that he has. He's in the middle of everything, and he's going to be controlling everything in this chapter, in this book, and everything on this earth and in this earth and outside of this earth. The seven angelic spirits are just waiting for the go-ahead to carry out the tribulation. It's kind of interesting that he has the mark of death upon him. Somehow, these marks of death here with these angels are apparent. Just doesn't say how, but John can see this. Revelation 5, verse 7. "And he came, and he taketh it out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne, because he's the only one worthy. He paid the price. He's the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, the avenger of blood. So he takes the title deed of the earth from God the Father. He takes it out of his hand." Revelation 5:8. "And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Now, beloved, I have to tell you how seriously God takes your prayers. You know, we casually say to people, I'll pray for you, I'm going to pray on that. We need to know how seriously God takes our prayers. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to petition him. He wants us to tell him what he's already said that he's going to do in his word. He wants to talk to us when things are going well. He wants to talk to us when things are going poorly. Praise him, communicate with him, and petition him at all times. This verse shows us right here. And there's others in the Gospels, too, where Christ gives us parables about the importance of prayer. And plus, we see his life, how many hours he prayed to God the Father about a variety of circumstances. But God takes our prayer seriously. They go directly to the throne room of God. That's where God acts upon them. You know, they're distributed by the cherubim. That's the living creatures in this version. And after the rapture, those prayers that come up to them are going to be distributed by the 24 elders, those who are in heaven after the rapture. That's the church. That's us. If you're a genuine believer, and I hope you are, if not, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can call me anytime, beloved, 1-877-706-2479. 1-877-276-0479. And I would be more than happy to talk to you about a relationship with the Lord Jesus. True worship is what we see in the throne room of God. It's what worship is. It's the way Christ wants us to worship. And it shows us what real worship is. These people fall down before the Lamb. They fall down before him. And it's a wonderful picture of worship that we should have as well. You know, I think about this myself. Do I fall down in front of Jesus? No, but I do. I don't do it often enough. I mean, I pray sitting. I pray when I'm in bed. I talk to him throughout the day. We pray at lunch. But do I really, really, really fall down, prostrate myself to let him know how much I love him, how much I respect the position that he has in my life and this earth and this universe. That's what we need to do. I do that, but I don't do it enough. I don't do it enough. You know, I think about the songs we sing. There's some modern praise songs that talks about us falling down. I don't see anybody falling down. I've been in a number of congregations where we sing these songs, but I don't see anybody falling down. We say that. I've even had people say, well, we fall down in our hearts. No, we don't. No, we don't. We're too proud to fall down in front of God. We don't want God to know. Or we don't, God knows everything. I mean, I misstated that. We don't want to think that God is more powerful than us. Or if we say he's powerful, we don't really believe it. You know, when I read through the Bible, I see a lot of areas that I'm convicted in, and I change the way I do things. I get in line with God. Please trust God and do what he says. Look at this verse here, Philippians 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Every knee should bow, us, and every knee will bow on the other side. Every knee will bow on the other side. You know, I keep thinking as I read God's word, I need to take the scriptures more seriously, increasingly more seriously, and I do. I do. I continue to study. I continue to grow. I continue to read. And I know we have to worship God, the creator of the universe and control of everything. He's going to end all the problems of this world. And he's going to reign on the throne of David in Jerusalem on the highest mountain in the world after that great tribulation. He's going to set up a lovely kingdom where we're going to be for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. The speed of light is going to speed up. It's going to be 7 times faster. Animals are no longer going to be in competition with each other. The whole dog-eat-dog situation is going to be gone. The angst of this earth will be gone for 1,000 years. Satan will be bound. He will be bound and not able to destroy, to harm, to incite, to tempt. And you're going to have an earth that is going to be restored. So you're going to have people living for that 1,000 years that are going to be redeemed with, well, everybody's going to be redeemed, but some are going to be with the resurrected bodies. Like, for example, if we died today, if you and I both died today, and we believed, when Christ comes back at the end of the Great Tribulation, he brings us with him. And there will be people that have survived that huge war that will have natural bodies still. So we, with resurrected bodies that last forever, will be with them that have natural bodies. We have to be doers of the word, not hearers of the word. Look what James said. Now, James was the Lord's half-brother, and he became the bishop of Jerusalem. James 1, verse 22, and he says very clearly, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." In other words, don't just listen, do it. Then he follows up with deceiving your own selves. Don't deceive yourself. Pray earnestly. Love God. Love God. Pray earnestly. Now they move on. They move on. These people that are up in this throne room, Revelation 5:9, it says, and they sing a new song, saying, "Worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth." You know, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a royal priesthood of believers. A royal priesthood of believers. Christ is our goel. We have been elevated. I mean, isn't that wonderful? We have been elevated. It's unimaginable what God has done for us. He has brought us in to his family, into this kingdom, so that we can be with him forever and ever and ever. Look what Peter says here. I want to read that verse for you. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a people of his own, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dear, dear, dear listener, if you are not in Christ, you are being driven by Satan. You probably don't even know that. I didn't before the Spirit of God entered me. I didn't know that I was unsaved. I didn't even understand any of this stuff. But you know, the issue is, are you going to heaven? Are you going to be with him? Are you going to avoid this great tribulation that's coming on the planet? And we haven't even gotten into the tribulation yet in our study. That's the next chapter. See what's going to happen here on this earth. It's just going to be unbelievable. It's going to be worse than Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Far, far worse than that. And you can avoid all this. You can become a believer if you are not a believer. You can become a believer. Just trust in the Lord. Believe that he rose again from the dead. You have to believe that gospel. I mean, genuinely believe it. Not just give it lip service. You have to really believe it. What is so important is that these are historical facts. This is not fiction. This is not fiction. Peter said we're a royal priesthood of believers. We've been elevated. Been elevated. Now look what the text does now. It moves on. It says, and I saw and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a great voice, worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things that are in him heard I saying, unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Dear believers, we have just finished chapter 5, the throne room of God, where Jesus of Nazareth, the risen Christ, the Lamb of God, who is worthy because of all that he has done to the Jews, he's the avenger of blood. He's the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, and through the law of Levirate marriage, he has the power. He's sacrificed himself. He's given his blood. He's paid the price. He has earned, in an earthly sense, the right to take back the earth. And being God, he always has had that right because his deity dictates this. These are just wonderful, wonderful things that we have to understand here. In our next session, we are going to be looking at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Now that Jesus has the scroll with the seven seals, he's going to begin to open that. The very first seal that he opens on the outside of that scroll unleashes the first of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And the first horseman represents the Antichrist, taking peace from the earth. Dear believers, this is coming on the earth. You need to understand this. And if you are truly a genuine born-again believer, you will not be here for this. You will not suffer this great tribulation. You will not go through it. You will leave this earth with us at the rapture and the resurrection before the great tribulation. That has been made very, very clear. I will touch on this in my next message again so that you can be sure that if you are a believer, you will not be here. And for those of you that do not believe, I beg you to consider trusting Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world for your sins. Please, please, I beg of you, listen to what Jesus says. The gospel is very simple, that Jesus died, he went into the ground for 3 days, and he rose again from the dead. If you truly believe this historical fact, you will become part of the family of God, and you will not be here during the great tribulation, and you will always be with God. It's a blessing, an absolute blessing, to be able to bring you these messages. And remember, you can call me anytime, 1-877-706-2479. If you've made that decision for Christ today, I would love to talk to you about it and set you on your way and give you some materials at no cost. The Pentwater Bible Church does not charge for any of these things. We give out notes on a basis of need. We just give those out. If you have a need, want to have the written documents for what I've been teaching here in these last 23 lessons, we'd be happy to give those to you. 1-877-706-2479. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you in our next session.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.